Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, it is the Red Men Originals podcast. I'm Paul Machin. Chris Pajak is... We're all in mourning today. We're all in black.
That's what happens when Hendo and Fabinho leave in the same week.
Chloe Bloxham, Dan Clough, complete the lineup in here. Yeah, for a very somber
no legs
looking...
Either.
No, yeah, no one's... I mean, Dan did try. He's got his podcasting kicks on
podcast
today.
Bands, of course, yeah.
They went on last week, were they?
No, I had shorts with like an under gusset going on last week, so I didn't need to.
Right, sad. We're going to be catching up on what's been going on in the last week, which is to say a bit, we'll be underselling it slightly, Fabinho, Henderson stuff, getting people's thoughts on that, and then moving on, we're going to kind of take that a step further, live in the world where that is happening, and then what that means for Liverpool's transfer plans, but that'll be part two. Part one is basically going to be reacting to the current situation that we're in and thoughts on either of those players. If you want to interact with us, if you're live watching us on YouTube, then you can do, feel free. But let's dive in. Things went absolutely wild between Wednesday and Thursday, to the point where we were all just like, every time someone went to talk about something, the situation, Chris, had completely changed. It was a wild day of refreshing Twitter feeds.
I just about got used to the idea that Henderson might be leaving, and then they dropped the Fabinho bombshell on you, and then that, it's just wild, wasn't it? And like, I still can't really believe that Jordan's going to leave in this sort of manner, to be honest with you. But it looks right now like he is going to. I think Fabinho obviously looks a little bit closer to happening. I think, you know, everything's sort of agreed bar and medical for the sakes of this conversation. And football in terms, we did a Red Men Reacts, didn't we, last week, us three here, and I was very much from a football perspective, I'm okay with it. But the more I've sort of thought about it, I've sort of more gone to what Dan was saying on the day, to be honest with you. And that is like, from a football perspective, I'm okay with those players leaving. But it very much feels like Liverpool have had their pants pulled down and don't know which way to turn. Yeah. And if they've planned for this for 3 months, I expect them to come up with the right answer. But right now, I'm looking at it thinking, it's going to be very difficult to come up with the right answer first time. For Liverpool, and that's where there's a little bit of fear coming in from me at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I've just watched the latest TIFO video, and they talk about how half of Premier League transfers fail. I talk about this all the time because it's a Paul Tompkins sort of line. He's done years and years of research into transfers, and if you expect all of your transfers to be a success, then you're going to be up for disappointment. But that's what this has done, Dan, is it's added pressure to the whole endeavour. You now need almost all of you. If you only sign one more, you now need all three to work because you've put a lot on those guys being the main guys for you, really, if you're losing the old guard at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. What we had done earlier in the window is we'd lost a lot of fringe players, and you couldn't really call some of them fringe players, to be honest with you. They were so unavailable at times, some of them. But you'd replace them with genuine first-team starters. That was a real sort of upgrade on what you had. Now you're looking to replace one, arguably two, first-team starters with similar, and that's not as easy to go and do all of a sudden, especially when the market's kind of been taken a little bit already. Some key players have made some moves. We've obviously made two of our moves already. So, like I say, those further down the line with Chelsea and stuff like that. So it becomes very difficult for us, especially as sort of Chris alludes to, when we haven't planned for it. Like, we're so unprepared for this that, like, Henderson was gone on that flight, obviously, to Germany. Fabinho was supposed to be on it. All of a sudden, he's pulled off last minute. So Liverpool, we are sort of historically very good at planning for windows and sort of planning in advance. This has come out of the blue, and that's what's so frightening about it, because you just know us reacting to stuff, we don't do particularly well in transfer windows because we haven't had to for so long. All of a sudden, it's baby out of the bathwater time, and how we respond to it is absolutely crucial.
What are your thoughts, Clem?
I'm a bit scared, to be honest, because, look, we all know Fabinho fell off a cliff last season, and, you know, I still think 40, I think everyone's happy with 40, and I can understand why, because it's similar to what we paid for him. My problem is I know Fabinho had the heights that he could of 2019, where he was the best DM. He just was. Mm-hmm. And what Liverpool have got to go and do is they've got to go and instantly replace him to someone who can be much better than what Fabinho's base level is just now, or at least match it, but also be able to have the heights of Fabinho from the seasons where we dominated, where we won. And that is, I don't think we're all sat here and we're like, yeah, 40 mil, boss. I don't think anyone's looked at the replacements, because I look at the replacements and I'm sat there thinking, oh my God, no. Like,
careful, Chloe, this is part two territory you're draining into here.
Don't do anything, I'll stop there. I just, there's a lot of like, uncertainty about it, because it's such a different level, like you mentioned there. You're not getting rid of players who are bench players, who are players who can come off an impact. You need players now to replace them that are going to hit the ground running, that are going to elevate your team instantly. And if they're not going to elevate them, they at least need to be at the same of what it was.
It's that the football decision stuff you talk about, Chris, is like, when if you make it a really basic on paper argument of a 29-year-old who had his worst season and looked like he might be starting to wane, and a 33-year-old guy who looks like the team's evolved beyond any of the positions that he plays best, then I'm all in on the idea of getting good money for these guys and moving them on. But it's the timing of it as well. And I think Chloe's point is spot on for that. If this is all in your control, that's cool. But everyone I've spoken to, and it was something I did on spoke to Neil on Journal Insight today, like this was just not part of Liverpool's plan at all. And the analogy I used is a bit like, you know, playing musical chairs on DMs, and nobody's told us that we're playing the game until the music stops. Mm-hmm. And now the music has stopped, and Arsenal are already sat down on Declan Rice. Yep. You know, there's a bunch of other ones that are a little bit closer.
Was it Amrabat and Man United?
Well, Amrabat's still not there, but this is the thing. There's a couple of lads who are still kind of floating around in a couple of clubs, but they knew it was happening. So they're already... Chelsea Casado is like, they're hovering over the chair here. They're ready to sit down. They've got one hand firmly on it, and we're still... We go, sorry, what are we doing? What's the situation? Where are the chairs? You know, that's... And to go back to Chloe's
point, there's one missing, lads.
Yeah.
And it's yours.
But that goes to Chloe's fears. And I don't think we're there yet, because there's a lot of transfer window yet to go, Chris. But we've been here before, when Liverpool have lost a player and not been fully prepared for what happens next. That's how you end up with Mario Balotelli, and that's how you end up with Artemelo if you don't then go and get it right.
Yeah, it's right. I mean, the other thing, the other wrinkle that makes it uncomfortable for me at the moment is, like, I'm still not sure what formation we're planning on playing next season.
Yeah.
And if we want to keep our options open, which I think would probably be the smart thing to do, you go in there with the idea that it's probably going to be the box midfield with a little bit of 4-3-3 thrown in there. Like, that changes all of that as well, because to play that 4-3-3, you do need a designated sort of destroyer or somebody who can play that six. Now, both of those lads who would play the six probably next season, number one and number two, maybe by Cechic's number two overhand. Mm-hmm. I'll let you argue that yourselves, whatever, in your own heads. But there's two of your 3-6 options gone. So that's almost out the window straight away. And then you're back with the Trent Alexander-Arnold at right back, and you still need a right back and all this type of stuff. If you stick with the box midfield, you know, I think you can probably do it with a McAllister and a Trent Alexander-Arnold if they're both to stay as a two-man midfield, which means you need... That probably leans you more towards the 4-2-3-1 being your backup option rather than the 4-3-3. But all of these things feel like... This needs proper planning, and you need to have thought this through properly to be able to execute it when it comes to the season. And I don't feel like we've had that. And all the options that I've heard, which we'll talk about in part two, it doesn't feel like any of them are the right pick to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the sort of scary thing, is I do trust Liverpool to get it right, and I do expect Liverpool to take a step back to get better. And I think that's the aim always, isn't it? It's how do you improve week in, week out? How do you improve every single transfer window? How do you get better through coaching, et cetera, et cetera? But right now, I can't see us getting better. I can see us getting worse. Because
yeah.
It's only two players that are coming out. We're not actually being linked with midfielders,
yeah.
Which by now, I was saying on the Fan Interactive show before, I was looking forward to doing Mondays. I was like, all right, Hendo and Fabinho, that'll probably be sorted. The links will start coming in on Monday, and the links haven't. We've had these four players that we've sort of tentatively been spoken about, but there's no Liverpool have made a bid. There's no actual stuff. And you're like, well, hang on a minute, are we now selling someone? And we don't want to be in a situation where everyone knows how much money we've got. Liverpool don't want to be in that situation where they've got £60 million and you're going in for someone 2 weeks before the season starts. Training's already on the go. And you're going, can I have your midfielder? Yeah, £60 million, but he's only worth 40, but you've got 60, lads.
Yeah. Without
talking, you know, part two about the people, it also worries me that we were already going after a DM anyway as a backup. And to think that that backup that everyone knew was going to be a backup, you know, to think that Liverpool might just make shift it and go, oh, no, actually now just becomes, no, he should not just become first choice. That's not how this works. You can't just do that. If he was coming to become your understudy, he still needs to be your understudy because you've clearly identified promising player, such and such, need this player for years in the future, but he's not good enough to fully go now. So it worries me that we were already in the market for a DM. Now the fact that our DM's actually going, everyone else is going to be like, great, as soon as you've come to us, well, it's all, like, we've got the deck of cards because you've been an him off. And we know exactly what you need.
I think the Henderson stuff is really weird, isn't it, Dan? You know, he's fallen foul of how we now find out about transfers in a huge, huge way. You know, in reality, he should be sat here now, in Germany, training as he is, but with his part in this shouldn't be anywhere near as known as it is, but because it's so arse about tit, he's sat in a training camp now knowing that he knows and everyone else knows that he's effectively agreed this deal to go and play. It's Liverpool and the clubs now who obviously seemingly miles apart on the valuations of the footballer. It's left him in a limbo. And look, people can care or not care about that. I care in so much as I do feel as sorry as you can feel for someone who's potentially about to earn £700,000 a week. But what that does, you know what I mean, of him having that kind of hanging over his head and everyone else in the camp knowing that, from a very like low key sense, it is a bit funny. And I'm certain like they've been taking the piss out of him in a huge way, and which is the footballer way, of course, of doing it. But it's an unideal set of circumstances because they obviously. I mean, they've left Fabinho stay behind to get his deal sorted. That they've not with Henderson speaks to the weirdness of the whole situation.
Well, exactly. And it just also speaks to the fact that it wasn't anywhere near part of the plan. It wasn't in the thinking. It wasn't in the process. It's a bit messy, quite frankly, for my opinion. I mean, you leave one of them behind to sort of sort his deal out and get that over the line, but you take the captain with you. Now, have they taken him because he's the captain and you want to sort of keep him with the group and stuff like that? And you almost... For me, a little bit too much water's gone under the bridge now in terms of this deal. Because as you say, Paul, like everyone knows the ins and outs of the deal. Everyone knows he wants to go there. So for me, Liverpool and Al Ittifaq have to find a way of making this happen. Otherwise, what happens? He just carries on as captain and we crack on from there. I just don't see a world whereby that happens, personally. So it's a mess. He looks a little bit... He looks like he's got some weight on his shoulders, let's put it that way, in his facial expression and stuff like that in Germany, which again... isn't perfect, but he's Liverpool captain at the end of the day, and the way it's been played out, and not through any fault of his own, I guess, because he, you know, hasn't, this isn't what he wanted to happen, I'm sure, but I don't know, it feels to me like this could have been handled better from start to finish from his party as well.
Can I interject? I think it's good business by Liverpool to take him, to be honest. I don't think it's strange at all in that if you are negotiating with somebody over a fee and you say you're fucking nowhere near and you leave him, then that says something to me. You are close. Whereas if you go, listen, it's 20 million or nothing, we're taking the lad away with us, you've got to stump the cash up. Because we're quite happy to have him in our squad this season and we don't want to let him go if we don't have to. I think it's just all a bit of gamesmanship from Liverpool's perspective. I think it's right to do that.
Yeah. What did that do for the group in that case, if you all know, as we're saying, everyone knows he's off, and he's put there as part of the group, as the captain of the group, what does that say for that? I don't think it sends a great message.
And they're okay to...
Would we be okay to keep him around, though, after all this?
It's all part of the game. It's as long as your front is, he's okay to stay with us, even when you know he's not, that's fine. As far as your the squad shouldn't really come into it, I don't think, anyway, because it's all about we want that money and we're not letting him go for less than. You're just strengthening your position. I think you're weakening it if you leave him at home.
It's just a weird...
That's the side I'm looking at.
Yeah, you've determined that he's going if you leave him behind, because we're all sat here at time of recording. Neither player has actually completed the transfer, but we're all here going for being done, because you don't leave him at home from a training camp if you think that's not happening. They're obviously happy with the headline figure that they're going to be receiving, to the point where there's no more, it's nothing more than crossing T's and dotting I's in that word, as the Henderson stuff. You're right, it sends, and look, and I've heard it said elsewhere, but you know, 4 years seems stupid of a contract to give Jordan Henderson, you know, two years ago. It might be the thing that actually gets us a great bit of value out of it. Might also be the thing that, you know, screws Jordan Henderson's chances up of going and earning that kind of money. But I'm glad that, as we're saying there, if Liverpool are being pressured to change their transfer plans, well, having a resting back a modicum of control over this is, I'm absolutely fine for this. And I know there'll be people out there, I've seen some in the comments of like, well, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him. Yeah, don't do that until you're ready, until it's the right moment. You know, Jörg Schmadtke should be sat there doing everything in his power to slow all of these deals down until he's got a big button that he can press, the press that's got Fabinho replacement written on it. And that guy comes in, you know, is literally they're handing shirts over. You know, it's like a substitution, little hug on the touchline as you come in and he goes out. So I totally agree. It's awkward for the footballer, and on a personal level, I can appreciate the awkwardness. But
I think it's fine though. I don't care if he's awkward. You're forcing your way out of Liverpool. Ask me if I'm asked. I'm really not. He's lost a lot of, like, it being so public for me is just, you're taking us for a ride. Either get out of my club or simply shut up and get down to work. I don't, and that is how I want it to be. You are our club captain. You were potentially...
No ifs, buts, and maybes here, is there?
You were potentially the greatest Liverpool captain, though. You'd won the most trophies. Mm. Don't try and take the piss out of us. And I think he's lost a lot of love from a lot of people, and I can totally understand why. At this point, it's just doing my head in, because everyone's sat here on Twitter, oh, Jordan Henderson looks unhappy, oh, he's clear, oh, he's getting phone messages, and I'm like, I'm not asked. It might just be his family. I don't care. What I do care is you get it done quickly so that this can stop dragging out and we can decide what we're doing next.
I do think a decision's been made there, though, that you could have, I think it works both ways, and Jordan Henderson's caught in the middle, but he's made this issue for himself, is that Liverpool will double down on the fact that if it all goes tits up, he'll still turn up to work the next day, and he'll still put a shift in.
Do you think he'd still be captain?
That's a really good question. So I did a poll on this yesterday, and I think it was 68%, I think, said that he should keep the captain's armband regardless. Yeah.
I wouldn't be on that side, mate.
Don't see how he can. I personally don't see how he can, and I echo Chloe's sentiments about how brilliant the captain he's been, and it shouldn't end like this, by the way.
Stephen Gerrard's kept the captain's armband twice when he wants to go to Chelsea on two different
teams. Honestly,
I don't think it's got anything to do with the fans. It's got to do with the squad. Yeah. And if the squad want to vote him as captain and he gets voted as captain, then that's that.
There's a lot more to this than the Gerrard stuff, though.
But like the club has got to always wrestle back as much control as possible in these situations. You think, you know, you don't want to be taken for a ride ever, do you? You don't want the player to have all the power. And the player does have 95% of the power nowadays, don't he? But when you have to set your stall out at some point, and you go, right, 40 million for Fabinho, yes, and go. You're not hitting our fucking what we want for Henderson. No, you're not going, and we'll make you play. We did the same with Phil Coutinho. Yeah. We bought ourselves a few months before the bid came in, and we bought ourselves some time to plan who we were going to buy. But we ultimately knew he was going to end up playing, and we ultimately knew he was going to end up leaving. And he did both of those things, but we got the time in to plan what we were going to do next. It's almost, you know, it's not going to happen in January, I don't think. It is going to happen this summer, but you still need to follow those sort of set things.
But that is why this is why I feel absolutely no sympathy for the lad. It's because you've tried to take us for a ride, and Liverpool have put you in the most awkward position whilst you be in the middle of the cameras in our camp away with us, whilst Fabinho in the background just slowly works himself out of there. I mean, Jordan Henderson hasn't helped himself with what he's done in the past, and that is a massive thing as well. But it's the fact that, like, I enjoy that we've done that for the sake of, we've made you now look like a little bit of an obed. And the reason we've done that is because we want the right fee, and we will get that right fee. And also, if he's had contact with the clubs to begin with, surely someone has said to Jordan Henderson, we think we can get you for free. Surely something of that. And for him to sit there and think that Liverpool had just let him go for free is a bit ridiculous.
I think that I don't think Henderson's come across like an absolute knobhead, apart from the LGBT plus stuff, which in that instance, yeah, but keeping that aside from the football side of things, he's not said anything. Mm-hmm. He's not said he's going. He's not said he's agreed it. We're seeing all the headlines and all that type of stuff, of course. But, like, really, he's been asked to go on the training camp, and he's gone on the training camp and he's working. So there he's fulfilling his role as a player at Liverpool Football Club by doing that. In terms of that specifically, we think he can get him for free. I can't imagine that's the case. I'd imagine they go, we'll agree a fee with Liverpool, we'll agree the move, and he's gone, okay, Sant, it shouldn't be a problem. You're a Saudi Arabian football club. He just didn't know they were the fucking skimp bastards who weren't going to pay any money.
Yeah. Do research.
But,
like,
but that's the thing, right? Is that
they wouldn't say, we think you can get you for free, here's 700 grand a week, mate. We just imagine they'd say, we'll agree a fee with Liverpool, will you agree to this wages? He might not have even spoken about a fee.
I agree on this, is that it's more likely that they've gone, because it was even said as much, as they're not going to put a bid in for Jordan Henderson until they find out if he would be interested in it. So, like, when we say he's agreed terms and all this, what we actually don't know is what anything means anymore, or what it really looks like. The fact of the matter is, he hasn't signed a contract with Al Etifak. He hasn't, because he's not legally allowed to do that without having agreed a fee beforehand. All he has done is broadly agreed the shape of terms. Harry Kane's done this with Bayern Munich, by the way, which we're going to do on the Biased Transfer podcast.
Those at this box with Chelsea for weeks.
No, exactly. You know, these things are agreed in principle. They're agreed in conversation. There might have been a handshake, or in this case, can you know, put raising a hand on Zoom? I don't know. But this is where it does get confusing, that we don't know the true information. Is somebody's briefed Al Etifak that they can get Jordan Henderson on the cheap, as in they can get it. They think Liverpool will let him go for a free, and I don't know where that's come from. And I'm not sure, you know, as Jordan Henderson maybe said, this is, and again, I'm hypothesising here, Liverpool have got a great history of, you know, you go to Jürgen and you say, mate, I've had this offer, I think it's time to move on, and he goes, okay, that's upsetting, I'd like you to stay, but if your heart's set on it, we'll let you go. Has he maybe thought that that's what would happen? Has he maybe undervalued himself in how important Jürgen still thinks he is to the Liverpool squad? Mm. Is that a potential? Or ultimately, has someone gone, if we offer you 700 grand a week, would you be interested in coming playing with me? I'm Steven Gerrard. Would you fancy doing this? Here's what your role will look like. And he's gone, okay, listen, if you can all sort that out here, I'm up for that. If you can get it sorted out. And they've not sorted it out. And of course, because of the timing of it, Jordan Henderson looks like a massive gobshite. Whereas in reality, I'm not sure it's quite that bad. Because you're right, I get your sentiment, Chloe. I do. I'm not me. I don't really want anyone playing for Liverpool who doesn't want to play for Liverpool. But your point's right, or equally, Chris, it's not like he sat there on strike, or he's going to the press going, Liverpool are denying me my dream move. From what I can tell, he's just picked his bags up and gone on training and is training just like everyone else. At the training camp, we've got a game on Wednesday. He'll probably be involved in some way, shape, or form in that. If this nothing moves on, and then we'll kind of see from there. But it's mad. He's been totally fucked over by all this, because that stuff getting into the book. Because again, it's the game. Just put a bid in. Just pay what Liverpool want to pay, and this isn't an issue. This whole back channel stuff, and now they're briefing that they haven't got a transfer budget. They've only got like £14 million of a transfer budget to spend in total. It's like, well, lads, you're shopping in the wrong fucking market then, you know what I mean? I don't shop at Waitrose because I can't go into Waitrose and say, lads, this is my budget, am I all right still to shop here? Because they go, get out, you fucking pleb, you know what I mean? That's just the way it is.
The other side of that is when a team comes to you in negotiations, and I fully agree, he might not have done anything. He looks like a major idiot because of everything else, and I won't be able to move past that. But the other thing is the fact that, like, if someone came to me with an offer in any work situation, if I was to leave here, I would go home, I'd go and research them, I'd want a face-to-face, I'd want you to tell me, break it all down and tell me every part of what you are, what you do, how much you work, what the project is. So, like, in any job that anyone ever gets, you'll get something like that. And it should be the same with transfers.
Mate, if someone's coming and offering you £700,000 a week, you probably think they can afford 14 million.
You probably do.
You know what I mean? You don't need to fucking do it. Come on,
well, apparently, he's going to have to take a wage hit so to facilitate the transfer fee.
It's like there's a total budget for the deal.
That's what I got told the other day. It was a total budget for the deal. And they went to Henderson and told him this, by all accounts. They said, this is our budget for the whole deal. Your wages and the transfer fee are going to have to come out of this. And his top-end wages are 700k. That's everything if Liverpool get nothing. So you work your way down from there, essentially.
Oh, my God. I'll have to fuck, I've got a slider.
Increased wage budget.
It's that career mode, isn't it, where you just slightly move it over.
It's shambolic. It is the shambles, isn't it? And again, we're lucky in some regards that Jordan Henderson is sort of the character that he is, because if he doesn't come through, he'll just carry on for Liverpool, won't he? The problem we've got is that he's a brilliant backup option, and if both of them go, I think we're in dire straits, because Jordan Henderson shouldn't be playing 30 plus games a season for us, or certainly not getting 30 worth of starts for us, 30 90s or whatever, say. But you don't go from having James Milner play as much football as he did last season, plus Jordan Henderson playing that much, to having neither of them available to you. That feels like a big gaping hole that's going to be filled with misery if we're not careful.
There's two sides of this. There's also on this side of the couch, when you say next season he'll be starting, we're like, oof. Like,
I can't see a world of my stays. Honestly, I can't see it.
I can't either, by the way. And I'm okay with him leaving.
Yeah.
My problem is over the both of them leaving at the same time. Yeah. That's the big thing for me.
No, yeah, I don't want...
That's it. Like, if you turned around and said Jordan Henderson's going, sound all right, fine. He's not that big a deal no more. And in isolation. His leadership thing, I think, is now being overplayed as well. Like, great leader, of course. He is great captain and all that type of course. But I said this last week, he wasn't as good a captain when he took over in 2015. He grew into that role and he became that captain. So there might be someone in the squad who can step up. But as far as a player on the football pitch, we can get better than Jordan Henderson. Mm. My problem is who are we getting in as the six? And that's the big thing for me. He's a good option, don't get me wrong. And his leadership was there last season when we were shit, by the way. And he did us fuck all for points in the first half of the season, his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes back to the squad. It's the squad thing. You're losing a step in your process by losing him at this point, because you want to be buying better than him, and we have. But if he then leaves, you're now left with only enough money to buy a backup. Because, if we're doing a straight player for player, I'm not sure you can get a player better than Fabinho for 40 million. Better. And certainly not with the ceiling, that we know he's got. Now, we're speculating that he's not going to be as good as he was two seasons ago ever again. And I don't think that's a fairly solid hypothesis as far as I'm concerned. But I know, again, when I was doing Twitch last night, I had a lot of people saying, now that he's got legs around him, he'd have gone back to being good again. We can't know this. But Jordan Henderson at £10 million, at £15 million... What are you doing with that? Are we just going to play Bobby Clark? What's the point of buying? Who are you going to buy that's going to come close to doing that? And that's where your squad starts to get weaker without you realising it. Never buy backups. Never buy understudies unless they are in line to be the next. They've got that space to grow and that time to grow. And that's what makes this, to your point, I think, Chris, particularly with both of them gone, you're replacing... I think you can replace Fabinho, probably just about, but to do both of them in one window is where we need the investment, by the way.
Yeah. This comes back to the ownership of Liverpool and how much we're willing to spend on players, because the backup player was Romeo Lavia at 50 million quid, which is not the ballpark that we can afford for backup players.
And yeah, and him for 50 stupid.
I agree with that completely. But Moises Caicedo, Chelsea are going in. I was reading an article before on the Evening Standard. Chelsea going in at 70 million, Brighton won 100 million mm-hmm. for a 21-year-old, Moises Caicedo, who's absolutely not worth 100 fucking million quid. So this is where we need to, like, how do you get better? Jesus, you get better by having more money because the market's moved up. Yeah. On far too much for where we are with our ownership at the moment.
Yeah, it goes right. Go back to, there's an article, wasn't there, today about how there's a work, it's like the worrying trend of ownership, ownership funding, and how something like 90% of the clubs are basically reliant on ownership funding, and we're not one, which is sounds great. If we manage to ride it out and everyone else falls off a cliff, then we'll be absolutely laughing off this. But you're right, I agree with that idea of chucking more money in if it's getting you the right player. But this is the thing. If this is what the market is, the market is forever more, then you kind of going to have to put up or shut up, aren't we? You know, we have to adapt with the times or risk falling behind. And we've done some great business so far, but there's a real risk that we undo all the great work we've done to try and keep the market at a reasonable level to make sure we're not having our pants pulled down in transfer negotiations. And we could actually have to set fire to what we're doing. And then actually put ourselves out of the market in the same way. Because if that market stays that way, can we continue to afford that in January and the summer that follows and the summer that follows? But I agree, that 50 million for Lavia, having us have the owners putting more money in doesn't make Lavia worth 50 million pounds. It doesn't make Caicedo worth 100 million. Yeah, absolutely. And then there's the knock-on ramifications of what that means further down the line. If we're holding Chelsea up as a fucking model, then we're stupid. Because they're, the iceberg's coming for them in a huge way.
The other thing is we already wanted another midfielder. I'm pretty sure we all sat here and thought, yeah, we want a centre-back and then we want another midfielder. So the fact that we already thought we needed another midfielder to then lose two and also have to go and replace them, it's a lot of work to be done. We already knew it was going to be a mad season in terms of transfers, but there is a very thin line between going one too far, and I hope we do not do that and we stand firm. But back to the Jordan Henderson thing, you mentioned Coutinho earlier. The difference here is this is an actual Liverpool legend who... Legends don't leave like this. Mm. Legends leave like the way Bobby Firmino did maybe last season. You know, the kind of... Divock Origi even, not a cult hero... Those are the types of ways that you leave Liverpool Football Club. This feels very different to that for obvious reasons.
Yeah, again, your legacy is in danger of being tarnished, isn't it, with all that, which is a bit of a sad thing in and of itself. We've had some super chats. Shane Allman says, I will keep banging same drum, move Trent to midfield and get a right back. Love Klopp, but he's so stubborn with Trent as he sees him as a right back. Love you guys.
There's not a lot of options out there for right back,
this is the other point. Is if we're going to persist with this formation and go to your point, Eric, because we don't know, if you move Trent into midfield, so effectively what that's saying is if we stick with this formation, you're moving Trent into Fabinho's position, we're then weakening the position that Trent has just vacated because there is nobody better in that position in world football than Trent Alexander-Arnold. So you're buying someone else who can do that job. That what's more difficult to buy? A world class DM or a world class inverted fullback?
The latter,
probably. Yeah, definitely. And the other thing is as well, like it looks like we've been planning for this extra midfielder for months. Mm. To be honest with you, and yet we still don't know. Oh shit! We need a day one starter now.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like we've been planning for a day one starter.
It's changed the landscape completely.
It's completely changed it all.
Exactly. Absolutely. Let's let me just find.
So even while you've been looking, even while you've been looking for a DM, you've not actually been looking at the right type of DM. No. So it still doesn't help you all the groundwork that you've put in.
Yeah. Well, I was quite comfortable with where we were at in terms of our transfer business. Obviously, we got the two midfielders in. The Lavia stuff was kind of bubbling under, and it felt like we were just waiting for a bit of a breakthrough. And I was fine with that. Absolutely fine. And then this happens, it's like, right, completely reset everything. We talk about him, but is Lavia still the one? Is he still on the table? I don't know. It's a difficult one now.
It is. Hawks and Super Chat in saying, folks, say forget about the morality of the move with Hendo, but they're not just buying some midfielder, they're buying Henderson, his reputation, and everything he stood for. I wish him all the best, but I don't have to agree. I think that's absolutely fair, isn't it? Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I kind of trying to bang this drum on the live show on Sunday, is that I can't, you know, we can't speak for every group and how everyone feels about certain things. We just can't. But it's to say that people aren't entitled to be upset by that is because then, because why don't we talk about the morality of Liverpool working with Nike and Standard Chartered, and why don't we worry about all these other bad things that happen in the world? Sometimes people have got their own moral codes that things go against, and it's a very difficult decision and it's very difficult to discuss. There is no true right or wrong, because it is entirely based on perspective from those things. But it is a thing that he's going to have to come back to. It. He's fucked either way, because everyone knows he's agreed to do this. So if he goes, then people are going to go, well, you've taken the money and you're doing it. And if it falls through, everyone knows that he wants to take the money and go and do it anyway. So he's made this decision, whether it happens or not. Mm-hmm. It's just whether he gets to live in it 700 grand a week richer, or he has to live in it still in this country,
he still got going for him is, because he's not spoken out, he could still come out and say,
it was all a lie.
No, he could come out and say, I've wrestled with it and I didn't like the idea of going to Saudi Arabia. He could still do that. And
whether people would be happy.
Has to be true, though.
He could still say it.
He could say it.
I don't think it's the truth, and I think it would be a pure PR spin.
Yeah, it would.
But he could still say that, because he's not said anything.
No, I agree. He'll have to say something, whatever happens after all this. He has to come out and give a statement of some description. And it has to touch on everything.
I just think it's mad that he's agreed it. You know, not. But I can understand the money.
Baffling.
And I say, it's just that thing of, you know, for the take on the morality stuff, it's, I just think when you stand up for a cause, it just, we said this on the Red Men Reacts, you stand up for a cause so publicly, it closes doors for you, but that's the price of taking a stand. Sometimes it's a price. It's like an ephemeral thing. It's not a real thing. Sometimes it actually is. You can put a valuation alongside it. But if you're gonna stand up for something and firmly believe in it, it does mean that
doors are gonna be shut.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things. I've had it before. You can't be a very, very public left wing person and then get invited to the Tory party conference. Just, you know what I mean?
Unless you're Keir Starmer.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You know, there's a reason why Sacha Baron Cohen has to change his identity every few years, because you don't get people cotton on to who you are and won't let you into certain situations. To put a far lighter spin on it than the topic deserves. I found the super chat. Since Ornstein's initial report, says Ash, all subsequent sources confirm Hendo's strong desire to leave, so I can't see him staying now. He wants out.
No, like, that's the other thing at this point. It's clearly obvious to everybody that he wants to go, so then go.
Yeah.
We have to find the agreement on this, in my opinion.
But that's
that's where it goes back to my, you've got to hold out for what you want.
Well, this is the thing. One thing Neil said on Journal Insight was, the problem is nobody knows how these guys are going to conduct business, because they've never been in this situation before. So you can't point back to, it's all right, they'll crumble because they've done this deal before. There's more examples of Liverpool probably doing it than certainly there will be at our Letterfuck. And so that's the awkward cat and mouse thing of it. It's like you're haggling with someone, but are they hagglers, or are they just telling you straight up, this is the truth of what
when
the,
you've
of
done
what
business
got
with RB Leipzig loads of times, you know roughly how they're going to react to things. No one really knows. That's what you're saying, isn't
it? Exactly that. We're going to take a very, very short break, and when we return we're going to be looking at the transfer links to replace Fabinho and potentially Henderson, judging some of them and seeing what happens next for Liverpool Football Club.
Hey everyone, brand new month, brand new incredible Liverpool competition prize over on redmenplus.com. It is this. It is what we have affectionately dubbed the Legends shirt. Every former Liverpool player that we interviewed over the course of the season, we got them to sign this wonderful Liverpool home shirt. That includes, and let me get the list for you, you've got Rush, Aurelio, Skirtle, Aldridge, Steve McMahon, Mark Wright, Jay Spearing, and Adam Lallana. All you need to do is go to redmenplus.com, join as a club legend, or upgrade an existing subscription from club captain to club legend, and you will be in the prize draw at the end of the month for our incredible Liverpool legend shirt. Redmenplus.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, yes, welcome back. In part two, yes, we've said, we've promised, we've tried our best to hold it back, but we're going to talk around what happens next. We saw, Chris, four names pretty much immediately linked on Friday. Mel Reddy came out and said, Calvin Phillips, Sofyan Amrabat, Romeo Lavia, and Ryan Gravenberch.
Ryan Gravenberch.
Thoughts on the reported list of replacement targets in one word. Chris Pajach.
Underwhelming.
That's exactly the word I was going to use.
God's sake.
Shouldn't have put it in the agenda then.
That was mine.
Chloe, any difference?
Shite.
Shite. Fucking shite.
Any list that starts with Calvin Phillips is...
Shite.
Oh dear, oh dear. Yeah.
We're definitely signing him, you know.
It was very much like, he'll kind of go, 40 million Firmino, 40 million Firmino. That's good business, that's good business. And all the people going, oh, Jordan Henderson, I'll try to name yourself, blah, 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 blah. And then the list came off, and you could hear the sound on social media of that brakes being slammed on. What? Who? Look, in isolation again, I've actually got no vast problem with any of the names linked. Look, to varying degrees.
I have.
Yeah, same. I'll come and sit there.
But my general sense of the underwhelming thing is that not one of them is as good as Fabinho, even in his worst season. I think his worst season, and bear in mind, Amrabat had the season of his life last year. I would rather keep Fabinho and have an unhappy Fabinho and be out 40 million quid than get any of those guys to be a day one starter for Liverpool. And that issue is only exacerbated further if Jordan Henderson's not at the football club. Because are you telling me that our starting DM from game one of the season against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge is either a fat lad who's only played three games for City last season. Not my words, by the way, the words of Pep Guardiola, sort of. Sofyan Amrabat, who had a good World Cup, but otherwise, as you know, is a Fiorentina Conference League footballer. Romeo Lavia, who is a 19-year-old child who's played about 4 minutes more than Stefan Bacetic. And Ryan Gravenberch, who got his big move to Bayern Munich and sat on the bench all season.
Yeah,
and he's in
the
six.
Yeah. If you're telling me any of those is starting game one for Liverpool, then we have made our team worse by selling Fabinho at any cost and replacing them with any of those lads.
Discuss. Can I just retweet?
Quote tweet this.
Yeah. Anyone?
That's that.
Yeah.
It's the miles off it for various different reasons. Calvin Phillips is just a no-no, like completely.
Can we just discuss the Calvin Phillips thing, by the way? Go on.
What's he got going for him? English. That's it.
That's
next.
It. I don't get it. Played no footy. Injury problems.
He was fit. He was very good prior to signing for Man City.
I don't think he was that good.
Yeah, he had a good four games in the
World Cup of the Euros. He's like 27. Everyone thinks he's 21 for some reason. It's not him. It's never been him. Can't be.
No.
Yeah.
He was next.
Is no one so no one's going to make even a slightest positive
towards
him.
He's a write-off. That's not even. Yeah. No.
Yeah. No, I've got nothing else for him.
That's mad. That. Don't like it at all.
He's shite.
One bit like
yeah.
He's not
warm. He's shite. He's
shite.
No. Didn't he want to go to United as well? Like desperately at one point.
He is. No, there is a little thing where. Like, he was, I know he's had injury problems, and that's obviously, we know what that looks like. You can't necessarily write a football player off in their ability level because of injury problems. But, like, Man City have got Rodri, and he's not coming anywhere close to touching Rodri, and Rodri's the level for me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Fabinho was the level, and Man City went, shit, we need to go and get our own Fabinho, and they bought a Rodri, and Fabinho was better than Rodri, and now, finally, Rodri's overtaking him, you know, which is what happens.
I wouldn't feel comfortable with Calvin Phillips above Pacicic, and that's not where we can be. That can't be us.
I think I think there's a mad world where you pick him up for like 15 to 20 million, right? Just to talk and say, because I'm talking about this, you can't buy replacement players, and you know you can't buy squad players. Yeah. He's a real example of that. I think he would be a perfectly adequate squad player for Liverpool. But again, to the point.
He'd be time for Tranmere as well.
He'd be the best player ever to play for Tranmere Football Club by an absolute
Aldridge.
It's also funny that you think that he'd, in any world, that lad's worth 15 to 20 mil. What did City pay for him? 50? And City will literally turn around and go, 60.
City have no interest in him
mil.
Either, have they?
No, they don't, but this is what City do.
They wouldn't
and
give
he'll
him
end
to
up
us.
Getting it.
No, they wouldn't give him to us.
He's going to be there at 45, filling the English quota for Man City.
I'm a little concerned, having slaughtered Arsenal last season, for saying, how do you expect to catch Manchester City when all you buy is their rejects? Mm-hmm. And then us to go, right, come on, let's catch Man City, Calvin Phillips. Maybe get on the treadmill a little bit before then, but yeah.
It'd be fresh, though, I suppose. That's the one advantage.
Yeah, it's
not a lot of minutes in the legs in the last 12 months.
He hasn't had a lot of minutes for years, by the way. Just to clarify that. He hasn't done a Fabinho minutes level season since the Championship. Like he's had injury problems since then, so he's not done a full, uninterrupted season in the Premier League.
Sounds like he'll probably be a target.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Just saying.
So Naby was injured again at the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. In the warm up.
Wonderful for him. How has he done it?
Funny.
Sofyan Amrabat.
No.
He's a good
than
player.
Calvin.
He's a good player. He's not at the level that we need.
He's also about 27 now.
He's 26, I think.
He's 26 going 27.
Out of the four. If it is just that four, and I don't want it to just be that four, obviously he would be the one. Because he's the one to me who feels like the most similar to Fabinho stylistically. He's the one who...
Tall and bald.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But he's the one who sort of a bit plug and play, comes in, does a job, bit of a stopgap for a season, two seasons, whatever it may be, whilst you either sort of allow Romeo Lavia, Pacicic to watch and learn and grow and be that understudy, or... you go and get the one that you really want next summer's time, for instance. I think Sofyan Amrabat, he'd be cheap enough, like 30 million, something like that. He'd be the one you could sort of say, okay, not ideal, this isn't an ideal scenario, but go on there, go and do a job.
Yeah, I think if you pair him with Lavia signing, it makes sense, but it is just the short-term solution. But you actually probably are covering the 2 years that you maybe wanted to keep Fabinho for.
Yeah. That feels reasonable to me. He's not as good as Fabinho. He's just not as good at football. No. He's a much more...
He's more of a destroyer.
Yeah. He's much more... He'll stop things happening. And I don't mind that. I quite like the idea. I think we're lacking that, actually. Someone who aggressively wants the football or wants the team not to have it, moreover. But yeah, he's... Again, it's underwhelming, isn't it?
I don't think we'll buy a player from that list to be our day one starter.
I hope not.
Lavia? We've said it a lot, I guess. Nothing really different to be had. 19 years old.
Yeah.
Fine in a world for me where you've still got Fabinho.
Yeah.
If you think that selling Fabinho just means we push the button on Lavia and that's it, job done, I'm really worried about
that. I think before the Hendo and Fabinho news, I think Liverpool thought they could get him for less than 50 million quid. Post the Hendo and Fabinho news, I don't think you can get him for less than 50 million quid because you've just had your coffers filled up and all your bargaining position has gone out the window with them two sales.
Well, I wonder whether we'll sort of draw back from that signing anyway, not just from a monetary sense, but I wonder whether what we want to do has changed. And if we do want to push the button on the elite £80 million plus player, then you can't go and get Lavia as well. So I wonder whether because of what's happened, our plans have moved away from Lavia, not just money. I think the only way we go and get Lavia is probably if we do get another one off that list, i.e. an Amrabat. Because as you alluded to there, I think an Amrabat plus a Lavia is kind of covering both bases, and I'm just about okay with that. But a Lavia alone just can't be a six going into the new season. We're miles off it. We're absolutely downgrading what we were doing.
Yeah, big concern. The Ryan Gravenberch still falls into a very similar sort of camp, is that, again, he feel that he would have been a great third piece of business in a settled squad, where you've got someone there. And the same with Lavia. It's like someone who comes in and there's just no pressure on him to be amazing from minute one at the football team. You can develop him. You can see how he fits. You can mould him to the shape you want him to be in. And Kefren Tehran was a bit like that as well. A luxury project. Szoboszlai's a first teamer. McAllister's a first teamer. You don't need... This is 5 days ago. You don't need a DM because you've got a 29-year-old experienced DM. You've still got something left in the tank with Hendo and Thiago's understudies. That's fine. If you don't even buy one in the summer, you could limp through with the another season, I think, without having to solve that problem while the market develops, if you had to. And these signings all feel... I mean, Amrabat's just a... He's just there, isn't he? He's just a senior football option. Phillips feels like...
Not an option.
Just joining the dots together makes sense on the Calvin Phillips stuff. Maybe Liverpool looked at him a couple of years ago and that's why he remains on a list. And Gravenberch, he's the one I would most want us to sign him out of those four in general.
Yep.
But again,
yeah.
What's the mantra? Not as a day one.
I was going to say shite. No, Gravenberch isn't shite, of course. No. Like he's a very good player. I don't think we could have got him as a third option, to be honest, because I think the one thing he wants is first team football. That might have actually opened the door now with Fabinho moving, and that might make it a little bit easier to sign someone like him. Don't see him as the right fit. Don't see him as the right type of DM at all. I actually really think, and I mentioned this off the cuff a couple of weeks ago about, you know, a centre-half who could step up into the midfield and leave Trent in that position. That's probably where I'd go now. Instead of an out DM, I'd be looking at that centre-half who can do it and step up just like John Stones. So you just leave Trent Alexander-Arnold sat there all the time and you just leave him in the centre of the pitch and let him get on with it. Because I think that just solves a couple of problems all at once. It means you don't need that backup right back, which I think you still need now anyway, if he's the one that's moving. It solves your defensive midfielder, it solves your centre-back problem, and it's almost one guy, and then you've got a couple of guys that you probably get in to back them up.
Do you want Trent playing in DM, though?
Well, it depends, doesn't it? Because he can do it at right-back, and he's done it against the best wingers in the world. So...
I mean, he's technically playing alongside the DM in this formation, but actually he's afforded so much opportunity to get forward from there. You know, he's more advanced than Fabinho plays on the other side. And you're actually limiting Trent by just making him the DM? Because that's actually, of all those positions, it's the one that sits the deepest.
But he's still got to get to the right-back position. So whenever he attacks, he's still got to think about getting all the way back. All I'm saying is you don't need to get all the way back.
Yeah, but you don't get as far forward.
I think he could. And that's obviously dependent on how you shift your formation, what the other centre-halves do and all that type of stuff. It has to change. But I just feel like that one signing could nullify having to make three. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
There's a diddle in here somewhere, isn't there? I think I wonder whether Pep and Jürgen are kind of sat overlooking a lake somewhere with a notepad in hand, kind of going, well, what if we try this? Is there some way we can just shuffle the pack a little bit and give ourselves another angle of approach? I think that's definitely one of them.
The other, as I said earlier, is McAllister played alongside Casado. Could McAllister play alongside Trent Alexander-Arnold? You'd need a right back to be able to do that. But then you'd at least have probably Szoboszlai central. McAllister's already alongside Trent Alexander-Arnold. You've got your Salah, you've got your Diaz, you've got your Gakpo or your Nunes up front. Yeah. You'd need a starting right back to be able to do that. And this is where it comes back to the formation stuff for me, is like, It would be much easier if we knew exactly what Liverpool were going to do. And the signing tells you what Liverpool are going to do, I think, moving forward. It's the first signing that we make.
If you remember, this happened with the Coutinho summer as well, totally differently, but I was convinced that our formation plan that season, we were going to copy Manchester City and we were going to see Coutinho and Lallana in behind. And then the week before the season started, Lallana got injured and we got a bid from Barcelona for Coutinho. And it totally and utterly changed Liverpool's outlook on what they were going to do. Mm. And we never really got to see that. We just modified the plan and we roll with it. And that's the thing. We were already uncertain about what we were going to do. We might never know. We might never get to see the plan that was getting put in action up until Friday. Might now just be sat in a curled up in a waste paper bin somewhere. And now they're moving on to the next thing. But the fact remains is that the next player they need to buy needs to be a first team ready footballer. None of these solutions, none of the answers we've come up with so far is anything less than a starting right back, a starting inverted right back, or a starting DM. Is it at this point? And it's who's out there and what are you going to do? I will just quickly jump to a super chat from Neil O'Callaghan. He says, if we just get Lavia and Colwill, FSG have basically told the fan base we're back to 15-16 and we're going to wait a few years for the title charge. Absolutely 100% unacceptable. Anyone?
No, because that's going to cost you a decent chunk of money still, those two. Colwill.
It's probably £110 million worth of football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I still think that would be a good business, actually. I'd be disappointed with the Lavia one because we are leaving ourselves short in the midfield department, obviously. Colwill I'd be over the moon with, yeah. So it'd kind of balance it out a little bit for me. But to the point, I don't think it can just be Lavia. I think it absolutely has to be somebody more experienced. And yeah, but I think if we went and got Colwill, that'd actually be a bit of a statement. If you went and got him from Chelsea, that'd be a huge signing. So, not quite for me.
Go on.
Yeah, I'd be really happy with Colwill. The midfield situation, the more we talk about it, the more I'm practically scared about it because Fabinho for 40 mil, everyone's sat here thinking it's a great deal, but who the hell are you getting back for 40 mil for a DM? It's just not plausible. I am quite scared of that. Henderson, I'm not as scared of. That'll get resolved at some point because, like you mentioned, I don't think it can continue at Liverpool. So you're going to have to get him out the door, even if it's for 15 when you wanted 20. Liverpool will do something because Jürgen, first of all, doesn't want players who doesn't want to play for him anymore. But the Fabinho, I'm quite scared of because I'm looking at a list of players that I do not like.
Yeah, I don't think... I get the sentiment of the Super Chat.
Yeah.
I do think if we were to sign Colwill and Lavia, we would have to accept that we're not challenging for the title this season.
Yeah.
And it might be next season. So the sentiment of that I understand. But I didn't think we'd be challenging for the title this season anyway, to be honest with you. I think we were too far back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily agree completely in that it's like FSG throwing the towel in. I just think we were too far away to challenge for the title this season anyway. It might actually give you the best chance for 2 years' time.
I don't think spending £200 million in the transfer market could be counted as like the ownership lacking ambition for it. And ultimately, it's about who the players are. Then if we're buying Lavia for £50 million, by the way, that's not FSG telling Jürgen Klopp to buy Lavia. That's Liverpool. That's Jürgen Klopp and Mike Gordon and the transfer committee choosing to spend £50 million on a 19-year-old footballer, which I still come back to is just stupid. I think the Colwill stuff, I don't think there's actually a better option out there.
Gvardiol album,
notwithstanding. Yeah, you know, there's maybe one or two. I'll change my
but not in our price range, so it's fine.
I'm not sure he's really in our price range, to be honest, but. You know, he's young, he's English, he's left-footed, yep. He can play left-back, he can play centre-back. You know, he's exactly what I think we're looking for. Yep. So I think that would be a very ambitious signing to go and get him from Chelsea as well, who desperately need really good centre-halves and have done for a few years and have spent a fortune trying to get them. I agree in the general sense of now, if you lose Fabinho and Henderson and your replacement for them is a 19-year-old Lavia, that's the warning. Think on what you're saying, but I said this all along. I think we decided in March that this summer was going to be not 15-16, by the way, because that was Rodgers' last summer in charge. Klopp's first full summer was the one where it wasn't the summer where we bought or the year where we bought Fabinho, Alisson, Van Dijk, Fabinho, Alisson. It was the summer where we bought Wijnaldum, Mane, Manninger, Clavan, I think, and maybe one more. That's what this summer's meant to be. But the Fabinho Henderson stuff has changed our has put so much pressure on getting someone who is world class.
You'll be glad to know everybody that Liverpool have put an asking price of £12.5 million on Thiago, according to reports today as well.
That's it.
imagine today of all days, be like, right lads, we're losing Hendo and Fabinho. £12.5 million for Barcelona.
Seen that before. Can I just say, Thiago. I actually wasn't comfortable and remain uncomfortable with £40 million for Fabinho for exactly this reason.
Thank you.
I said this Friday with us. I've never been comfortable with it because I don't know how you're placing for £40 million.
Last week, I didn't really reiterate it on this, but I think £40 million is what he's worth in the standard pre-existing transfer market. I was really hoping that someone was going to give us an eye-watering bid for someone. But if all this Saudi money's washing round, and even it's only 50, you know what I mean, or 60 for Fabinho, why can't someone be stupid like that? You know, like what? Can't we sell to Man
a dead shit season?
Yeah. Maybe that's
it.
Exactly.
Players on a fucking pitch. Yes.
If you're liking it, it's £40 million when you've planned to sell him this summer. It's absolutely fine. It's transfer deadline day. The season's already started. Is it £40 million? No, it's 100, kid.
Yeah, that's where we're at. In essence, not quite 100, but that's where we're at. But this wasn't part of our plans.
He isn't an icon as well, which is a point on Fabinho. It's actually the best. He'd be the best player in the Saudi Pro League, probably. You know, he'll be one of the younger. And obviously, we've been nervous, but he's better than him. You know, he's young enough that he's still in his prime. Everyone else is a bit of on the way down, probably more than he is. But the Henderson stuff, we forget this, is if Jordan Henderson's still there when we go to Singapore, Jordan Henderson's getting mobbed in Singapore because he is a huge global star, not in the way that we perceive it on the Ronaldo and Messi level, but outside of little England and the mentality we have about English players, Jordan Henderson is a much bigger draw than someone like Fabinho. So maybe that's part of it, is like that's why we're only getting market value for him. And Liverpool are clearly happy with it, aren't they? The fact that they're digging in over Hendo, who is 33 and isn't a guaranteed starter for the team, but just went £40 million, laughing. There you go. Yeah. Crack on. There's something in that. I don't know entirely what that is. Shane Almond says Edson Alvarez. Didn't he just win Wimbledon? Is that?
That's Carlos.
West Ham won him, didn't they? I think West Ham are quite keen on him.
Wasn't he supposed to go to Dortmund, but it fell
through? That never happened, yeah. He fell through, yeah.
He says also, Chloe, I agree on him, though. I don't know enough about these. This is where we're getting to it now. We're in the... People are just naming DMs, and then we're going to get annoyed when we're not bidding for these DMs.
It's going to be a fun couple of months.
Yeah. Neil's back again, says, why do we need to dampen our expectations for FSG? Lack of ambition. We're an LFC, we expect a challenge every year, not once every now and again. I don't understand that.
I think it might have been my response. Was it his earlier super chat about the 15-16 stuff? I don't know. I'm not dampening expectations. I want Liverpool to challenge every single year, obviously. Yeah. I'm not trying to dampen expectations. I just said I think we were too far away to challenge. Now, if you'd have bought me Haaland off City this season, that would change, but we're not in the market for Erling Haaland this season, unfortunately. It's not dampening expectations. It's understanding the owners of the football club and roughly what the budgets are.
I had a look the other day at City's, at like the midfield balance. It was just a bit of a thought process to see the age range of midfields in the top four and a couple of the challenging clubs, and then I did Real Madrid as well. And anyone over, there was like, I broke it down into over 30, 22 to 29, and then under 20 and 21 and under. And City have just got prime age footballers. Kevin De Bruyne is their oldest midfielder at 31 now. Yeah, Kovacic is just about to turn 30, if not, I think he's 29, he'll be 30 soon, or this season. So he's on the fringe of that. But everyone else is just in that sweet spot between 22 and 28, and it's ridiculous. And they've got Erling Haaland scoring the goals at the top of the pitch. They are just an absolute machine. They've done their rebuild, and they're ready. And what are they doing? They're looking round, and it's like... I've got the perfect thing. What do I need now? They've got the mansion, and they've got like the what we're going to add. We'll add a pool in the back, and then we had a bowling alley underneath, and we'll add an indoor cinema. They're like fucking MTV Cribs, and we are like a home improvement show. Where by the end of it, it's Boss what we've got, but you know,
60-minute makeover. Yeah,
you've not got. This is where the magic happens. You know what I mean? It hasn't quite got that. It's just not who we are, and not who anyone is other than these. But they're looking at a team that won the treble and going, how do we improve that? Okay, we'll spend £80 million to upgrade Nathan Ake. Mm. And they won the treble. And that gets confused as a lack of ambition from Liverpool's perspective. It's not. It's just that City can do those things and we can't. And it's the path of madness, unfortunately. But yeah, I agree. I think Liverpool can get back to challenging them, but we need a strong headwind behind us. We need team unity. We need lots of time on the training ground. And we need some lads to just become absolute gems. We've done that before. That'll happen again. I've no doubt Bicetic will be a great footballer. I think Szoboszlai's a great buy. I think McAllister's a great buy. We've still got Mohamed Salah, so we've got loads of goals in there. Gakpo, Diaz, these are fantastic. Trent could play in any football team on the planet, and any team particularly who wants. He's one of the few who is still the idol. You know, look at Man City. I still think we've got a better goalkeeper. I think, obviously, Van Dijk's on the way down, but I think he's as good as anything they've got at centre-half. I think the same goes for Konate. I know they're getting rid of full-backs, but if they have anyone who actually plays as a left-back, I'd still have Andy Robertson over any of their actual left-backs. Trent is the best inverted full-back in the business, mm-hmm. I think. They haven't got a better... Salah's better than Mahrez, I know he's going, etc., etc., etc. I don't think we're miles off. Unless we buy a 19-year-old as our number one going into the season. The question then, just to wrap this up, we were probably going to keep what we had and just go for one young option now, Chris. Is there a world where, do we need two if we lose both? Or is there something in just going and getting a 23-year-old ready to break out, you can just go and do what Fabinho's been doing? He just goes and plays 50 games.
I would go for a starter six is my first choice of player. It's so difficult this because Henderson's so versatile that he backed up a lot of the positions, and that's where I find the difficulty. Yeah. And again, I come back to it, if you don't know what formation you're playing, it's hard to pick the players, of course. But I would go for a six. I would go, personally, I would go older than 23. I would go 25, 26, 27. I would go, you. It has to be a dead set what you're going for. I still think a 23-year-old, you're not quite there yet. I want 200, 250, 300 top flight games under the belt type of thing. Not asking for much, I know, of course. I want him to be a destroyer who can play the football as well, play with the ball as well. You know what I mean? And I would still be looking at a left-sided centre-half because I think, I'm sure other people will go another route on this, but for me, I think a left-sided centre-half improves your first team. Mm-hmm. And I think a six improves your first team. And I don't think buying two mids necessarily improves your first team as much as a left side of centre half and a six.
If you're splitting your budget, so you're saying go and buy a £60 million, £70 million pound DM rather than get a £230 million ones or a £20 million one and I agree with that. I genuinely do, and I think it can depend on the footballer. I think the issue when you're buying 26, 27-year olds is you've got a shorter window of usage out of them. And the resale value is lower, but I agree you may be at the ground running a bit quicker. I don't know whether there's something, you know, it's been said, but is there a world where you go back for Barella and you do a diddle where you switch what you've got around or something? I don't know. But Carly, what would you do?
I'd keep Fabinho because the others are absolutely shocking. Yeah, no, we need a number six, an out and out number six. We need first team quality. I understand, which is why you've gone up in age, which is why Amrabat was the one that we all picked as the most suitable. But if I'm dealing with Amrabat as my DM next season, I'm going to be pissed off, to be perfectly honest, which is I cannot.
He might be a refreshing change, though. He's a good player and he gets the ball back.
You just described him, that's why I was laughing. You just sat there and described him for a minute. He's all right.
He's a bloody good player.
It is underwhelming, though. Come on, it is. Yeah. Centre, left-footed centre-back, which hopefully would be Colwill, and an out-and-out DM. Ryan Gravenberch, I was so excited with him, but he can't do that role.
If you told me, right, I think Amrabat's at least on the level of Fabinho. I think where Fabinho this season would have had the edge is just that having played in the system before and then having known Liverpool and all that type of stuff. But player for player, I don't think there's too much in it. If you told me a week ago, we're going to switch Fabinho for Amrabat and we're going to sign Colwill, I'd go, wee-hee, thank you very much.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever. Mm. But that's with keeping Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
And that's the difficult thing is Hendo just plays everywhere.
It's just the break glass solutions that's the problem with the losing Henderson as well, is that I don't really want to sit here and contemplate a word. You are weakening your offering if he's the more you're reliant on a Jordan Henderson. You know, we had this when Alden left and he went from being Milner went from being fourth choice DM to third choice DM because we'd taken Wan Aldum out, and that's a very subtle weakening of your proposition, and that is the issue. But then again, if you then take that, if you took Milner out, who would have been third choice DM? It would have been like Curtis Jones or something, and that would have been quite a sizable chunk of weakening of the thing. And yeah, so yeah, that's the conundrum. If it goes wrong, you've got a safe pair of hands there just to step in and do it for a couple of games where you go back to the drawing boards or you get back to training.
Do you think we're just signing a DM and a left-footed centre-back? Because my problem here is then, say, I sign Amrabat, he gets injured or whatever. Is Stefan Bajetic my backup, which I am OK with, but I just don't want to play him through everything just in case, once again.
That's the problem.
That is why the Lavia thing was...
Yeah, it made perfect sense, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I think you can afford all three of them things. I think you can, if you take that offer Chris just gave us, then Amrabat and Colwill and Fabinho goes sound. But I think you can also afford your understudy DM in all that, because Amrabat's not going to cost the earth.
Was he 35?
If there's money, I think it was January linked, it was like around the £35 million mark. You could get him, Colwill,
your only issue on this, sorry, Dan, is that, or maybe it can work both ways. I was just thinking about this. West Ham are now cash rich and in desperate need of a DM, having sold Declan Rice. Mm. Now, two things. That will unearth the transfer fees of a number of footballers because they're going to be asking questions right now. So I had a look at it. Edson Alvarez is being linked with West Ham. Mm-hmm. Amrabat's being linked with West Ham. Polina being linked with West Ham. These players are all going to be floating around. There's an opportunity to not have to get into like a Liverpool tax on stuff, because you just wait till one of them gets a fee agreed and you go ahead.
West Ham tax for the Rice though.
Yeah. And that is the then other flip side problem is there's other clubs fighting for this. You've got who are prepared to place stupid money for things, and so we're gonna have to bite the bullet or pull someone out of nowhere. And Rachel Todd just sent the super chat in there, said what about Florentino Luis, which is another one who's been name checked.
Is he the one that looked quite decent on?
He's
that
the one that is basically Fabinho 5 years ago.
Yeah, 23
fits the model in terms of the physique and all that.
Six
good on the
one.
Ball. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Good for good.
Anyone know where the talks are? Are we interested?
No, there's nothing.
Liverpool watched them a few times, apparently. According to this, is Anfield last season, because the centre half is Antonio Silva that we were looking at Benfica as well. So Liverpool have scouted him, apparently. We don't know whether there's anything there now. He basically looks exactly like Fabinho a few years ago.
If you want to know a little bit more on that, I had a good old chat with Neil Jones on Jano Insight today on Red Men Plus on that. So yeah, do chat that out. I did pick his brain on that because he's been one of the ones touting that name again recently. It's not nothing. It's just not. They're not like, I don't think Liverpool are sat around the table with Benfica at the moment over it. But he's one of those names that's on the list, just not as prominently.
Can I just pull Dan's thread here a second? How much are you saying you can get them 3-4?
Colwill, Amrabat and Lavia. Yeah. For instance, I think you can get Lavia for your 40 in the end. I'm about 35, 75. Colwill, I think you're going to do 65 million for Colwill. So what's that?
I don't know, I wasn't really counting.
140.
You had your fingers on, Chris.
I was just 1, 2 and 3.
140 million.
And we're recouping.
On top of 95.
See, here's right, here's something then for all of us. Why is no one talking about Thiago in a weird way? Is it just because he just doesn't fit into any of our plans?
What do you mean?
He's not a six, he's an eight.
Does he become Henderson?
I said this, he's Fabinho's understudy for me. And in those games where you want to just move, you want to dominate the ball and you want to move the ball, or you want to give him a little bit of rest. But I think he plays. I think he plays all three of those positions this season if we keep him, but just less frequently. He's definitely just the understudy to whoever needs understudying at that given time.
That's what Henderson was, wasn't he?
Yeah,
same thing.
But I think Jordan's plan was that as well. And then you've got these two senior lads who've got super pitch, great, you know, great leadership on and off the pitch. Great at bringing the young lads along. They're just there. They're in every match they squad. They're playing 30. They're playing 60. They're doing bits and pieces through all competitions. But if we then sell for... If we sell Fabinho, Henderson and Thiago in this window, then I'm sorry. I it's possible that we'll be fine next year.
No.
But I genuinely... We're going back into the fucking wilderness. I'm sorry.
Can you imagine if Al Etifak turned around and went, sorry, Jordan, we've just heard that Thiago's 12.5 and we can afford that. So actually,
I'd probably prefer that, to be honest with you.
Well, Chloe, honestly, it genuinely wouldn't surprise me. That's what's the gamesmanship that's going on with this at the moment. It honestly wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool were briefing that there's what you can get. You can get Thiago instead of him because they'd rather keep Henderson than Thiago, which I'm sure will have people throwing the caps locks down the fucking stairs at this point. But I just think we should have kept done everything to keep all three and add one more young player, we'd have been fine, but it is what it is. Luke McDermott, Henderson leaves and replace with James Ward-Prowse.
No. Aubrey texts me this and I didn't even bother replying.
No thanks.
Fuck off.
No. Fucking hell. It's on the
He's shite.
Calvin Phillips.
In fact, he's shite without the E.
Not having James Ward-Prowse then, no. Anyone have James Ward-Prowse?
Just he's English and he's captain to side. That's all it is.
Ooh, look at me. I can take a free kick, but I'm shit at everything else.
Uh-huh. Can't run.
It's like Rory Delap, but with feet.
Feet, yeah. No, not
I think
me.
He's all right.
Well, he's right back a little bit, I suppose.
He's got Newcastle written all over him, hasn't he? Mm. Okay. This ended absolutely splendidly. Yeah. I hope everyone's feeling worse after that, because I am. no, go back to the point. I've got far less emotional attachment to this all at the moment. I just can't do anything about it. I can't change anything. They've made the decisions they've made. I think 40 million, when you've not got a first-choice DM lined up who's as good as Fabinho, is fucking stupid. But, you know, what do they do next? That's what it's going to matter. Judge the window, not just the window how it's going to be, not how it is.
I wonder if Liverpool have gone into the season the same way as most of the fans, where they're like, I'm not 100% sure Fabinho's done or he can come back. And when 40 million comes in, when you've got question marks over your player, you might just think,
Will you get that next season?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I think I was trying to say this on Twitch last night, is there's a chance that he just comes back to his level. He's only 29. You know, he'll be 29, 30. You should be able to get... I mean, Fernandinho went on forever. You know what I mean? In an ideal world, you keep someone like him around.
He just kept improving, didn't he, as well?
Because your experience gets more and you become cannier and you become smarter in the things that you do, particularly in the DM position.
Read the game better as well.
But there is just that thing of, if Fabinho fell off a cliff next season, none of us would be surprised. If that was just his level, you'd be like... You'd had all of last season here. There was all your evidence that this was gonna happen. So I totally agree. I think it is. It's not stupid to cash in on Fabinho, but it is stupid to cash in on Fabinho if you can't afford and or the target that you want to replace him long term isn't available.
Mm. Mm. When you think of Fabinho's game last year, the biggest thing for me is he was late into the tackle.
Yeah, he was
late into everything.
Was it Brighton?
Can you improve that again?
I don't know.
Yeah, he gets his sharpness back.
Mental and physical fatigue, isn't it? Maybe. But again, if it's not, if it's just how your muscles are now, we know that. You know, it's just, there comes a point where...
Players were behind them. It's gone past them and he's trying to fucking tackle them.
It was Brighton where he came on, I think, in the FA Cup, and he tried everything in his power to get sent off in the first minute he stepped on a football pitch.
The naughty one. He
just went,
Yeah, he did. I had some faith in him, to be honest with you, coming back to something like his level. Given what had gone before with the quadruple chasing season, just the amount of football, Jurgen Klopp's admitted we got pre-season badly wrong, so we'd have had that behind him, a little bit of a rest. I was holding out hope that we'd get something back. And my main issue with it is, and I've said it from day one last week, is it's just derailed everything. The reason we've sat here for an hour talking about this is because our plans have been derailed. That's what's happened. And that's why I would have wanted more than 40 million, because you want to come over and just wreck everything we've been sort of aiming towards all for the past few weeks. No, it's not how it's going to work. Unless we have, as Paul alludes to a second ago, a DM in mind who we know is available, who we know we can get with this 40 million plus whatever else we had in the budget, that's fine. If that's not the world we're living in, we've got a big problem.
I also thought, you know, Fabinho was horrific last season, but he was one of many in that midfield area. Yeah, Stefan Vujacic, probably one of the only people, Curtis Jones, when he featured, you could turn around and say, hi, I'm not in that. So the fact that he didn't have any legs around him absolutely completely murdered him as well. I thought with a little bit of arrest and the fact that he's going to have cover, hopefully, in the likes of Lavia, and the fact that he'd have Soboslai, McAllister, he would have had Hendo at the time, he'd Thiago, Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott. We had so many more people who were ready and available to help when needed, and you had Stefan Vujacic if needed, and maybe Lavia. I thought, oh my God, like, you might actually see him go back to his best because he's got help around him, and you can know when to play him. We're in Europa League. He's not going to play that every week. So I was really hopeful that the rest and everything would help, but evidently.
I think it says that Liverpool weren't, that they just basically accepted the first offer.
Or what you got to remember here, how almost all of these Saudi deals, apart from the free transfer ones, obviously, have been kind of pushed and forced by the player side. Yeah. So I'd wonder how much of that is involved when at play here, because I know I spoke to somebody last week who told me almost exclusively these Saudi clubs go to the players' camp first, and then they'll go to the club and say, I've been offered this much, can I go? So if Fabinho's done that, and he's kind of forced the hand of the club, maybe our hands are tied a little bit and said, you know what, again, Jurgen Klopp doesn't want players who don't want to be there, etc. If he's already made his mind up, that's that then.
Yeah, like they trust Henderson not to kick up a fuss, but do they trust Fabinho to do the same? And again, it's what's worth the trouble? Who's worth the backlash? They've clearly decided maybe the minimal chance of backlash with Henderson, and it's worth sticking it out in case there is a little bit of it, like riding him, you know what I mean, just putting the elbow on his back a little bit. Whereas Fabinho, they've gone, what do we do? We go no, but then we're stuck with the lads who realistically we're definitely looking to move on at some point.
We're literally linked to his replacement.
Yeah
he knows that,
and he knew this last summer as well, by the way, you know that, you know, he's known that he's on his way out for a while, or we've been looking to actively replace him, and now it's come around. And I think that maybe that's just it. It's just said, look, you know, we know, we're going to take this opportunity to run with the money instead. Shane Almond, another super chat, says, for those saying Thiago is the sixth, that sounds like good. Too late, he pulled a hammy reading your suggestions. Yeah,
Shane Almond. You're nuts.
Yeah, Thiago. Thiago, though, yeah, good for him. Maybe there is a world where you don't play Thiago until he gets injured. Maybe play him and then stop and then let him recuperate and then play him a little bit more and then rinse and repeat that cycle, as opposed to just ride him until he's dead and then get upset at that thing. Anyway, okay. Cool. Sounds right. We're going to wrap up there. We're going to be doing the Bias Transfer podcast. We're going to be picking up on some of the fascinating stories outside of Liverpool in the transfer market. Harry Kane is once again stuck in a transfer tussle, this time Bayern Munich apparently enraging Levy at Spurs. That's going to be a fascinating one to see how that develops. We're going to be chatting Chelsea latest. We're going to have a good laugh at Manchester United, because as much as they're paying £50 million for goalkeepers, they're still an absolute fucking shambles, and it's hilarious. So we're going to do that as a large focus.
They sound like it, yeah.
No! And one of the ones they've been linked with scored 9 Serie A goals, and they want £60-70 million for
it. It's a great deal.
It's like Lukaku.
Yes, go to revmplus.com and join us for the Bias Transfer podcast. Before I go as well, in fact, I'll play it out on this. We've got a brand new book that is available for pre-order right now. Bobby Firmino, best in the world. Oh, we've got a super chat! And I can't, here we go. Hawks says, if we are in a lurch for the season, we do have a Premier League experience. Number 6, McAllister. Good shout. He is 2 foot tall, though, so let's try and get a big lad. If we can, please. But thanks for the comment.
Second most ball recoveries in the league at the point when he stopped playing that 6 when it broke for the World Cup behind Declan Rice last season.
Cool.
Cute.
And all the ones that he didn't get were when someone just like lifted it very slightly over his head. Right, yeah, sad. Anyway, I'll play it out on this. Yeah, we've got a brand new book, Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, that is available to pre-order. I think it's sensational. Grab yourself a copy while you can.
Hey everyone, what's happening? Are you a huge Roberto Firmino fan? Well, why don't you check out our brand new book, Bobby Firmino, Best in the World. It is available right now for pre-order. It is a prestige A4 format book with incredible stories, fantastic stats, insight, photographs and unique artwork from a whole host of incredible Liverpool artists as well. So yeah, for you and for any great Roberto Firmino super fan in your life, celebrate the life and times of the boy from Maceió, the boy from Brazil, the boy that the cop absolutely adored, and it's available on pre-order on redmenmerch.com right now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.